Broadcasting nationwide and coast to coast, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
From the Liberty University Broadcast Studio, it's Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, welcome to Hour 2 of the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us on this Monday edition of the program. And we got a lot going on today, a lot to talk about. It was a great first hour. By the way, Mark Lotter from the Trump 2020 campaign is going to be here in just a little while. And looking forward to touching base with him. Also, we've been following the riots in Seattle and Portland and the unrest in places like Chicago and New York City. We're going to be talking with Mark Morgan from Border Patrol in just a little while. So he'll be coming up on the program. And Dr. Manny Sethi from who is running for the U.S. Senate here in the state of Tennessee is going to be here as well. All that to say, we got a lot going on here. But I'll go right now to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Always an honor to have Bill O'Reilly hanging out with us, BillO'Reilly.com, and you can watch him on the First TV. Bill, it's always good hearing your radio commentaries, by the way. Those are it's appointment radio.
Thank you, Todd. I appreciate that. You know, we're putting a lot of work into the radio to try to revive the Paul Harvey franchise, and we have been 300 years. I'm very appreciative of your carrying us.
Well, you're very popular here in the Mid-South, and our listeners on the on KWAM are huge fans. You know, this morning you were talking about, 100 days out to the election, and you made an interesting point, and I want to talk about that. That's our starting off point, is that the election's really not about Biden versus Trump. There's something else going on here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm doing a big analysis tonight on BillO'Reilly.com that this is my 11th presidential campaign. In 1976, I started with interviewing Jimmy Carter. And in the presidential campaigns that I've covered, I have basically kept an open mind to both sides, both parties, both candidates. And then I made my determination as an American quietly. Never endorsed a candidate, never did that. Reported down the line what was happening. My analysis was what was good or best for the country. But now it is obvious that if the Democrats seize power in November, if they get Congress and Biden's elected president, that traditional America will vanish. There's no question that will happen. And along the way, we'll go into a deep recession. The dollar will collapse. I mean, every bad thing you can think of economically will happen. And it's not a matter of if, it's when. And I can't support that. So I'm telling my viewers and people across the country that I'm going to cover it fairly. I'm not going to cheap shot Biden. I'm not going to take things out of context or do any of that. I would never do that. But as an American, I cannot support the Democratic Party in November.
It is shocking how quickly things have taken a turn for the worse in this country. In California, Nevada, you know, religious liberty is a big issue for me. And that Supreme Court decision that came out Friday saying that, you know what, yeah, you can have 3,000 people in a casino, but you can't have a couple of hundred people at a church. I mean, it's as if, you know, every single one of our rights bill is under attack.
It's about Trump. So the reason you're seeing the quick diminishment of civility in America is because of Donald Trump. And once Trump won the election and the media came out en masse against him, the corporate media, 90% of the national news flow is controlled by six corporations. Once that happened, then the radical leftists said, you know what, we have an ally in the media now. Whereas before, they would have been a little hesitant about Antifa, Black Lives Matter, Global Foundation. Media would have been a little hesitant in supporting those crews. They don't outright support Antifa. They certainly support Black Lives Matter. But they don't condemn, and they make excuses for violent behavior.
Well, Jerry Nadler said it's a myth. It's not even happening, according to Jerry Nadler.
Well, I mean, look, I don't even take that seriously. You know, when Jerry Nadler or the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, or Adam Schiff say anything, I automatically kind of dismiss it because I know where they're coming from. So the basic credo is any action is justified if it hurts Donald Trump. And the Democratic Party has seized that, and the media has seized that. The ends justify the means. Got to get them out.
How do you think the president's doing out on the campaign trail as much as he can be out there? Is he on the right track here?
He got hurt at Tulsa. COVID's hurt him a lot. He was off his game for a few weeks. He recovered somewhat in the South Dakota speech at Mount Rushmore. The COVID briefings are better now that he's reignited them, more crisp, more focused. I think he's back, but because he can't hold big rallies, that hurts him. Now, what will help Donald Trump is if he comes into the debates prepared. Can't debate the way he did with Hillary Clinton. He's got to come in very prepared to do damage to Joe Biden's record and to Biden himself, but he can't be mean because it's all about women. Donald Trump will carry men. He lost last time 54% to 42 in women. He could lose this time 65-35, and that's the end of him if he does. So he's got to persuade women that he can help them and that Biden will hurt them. If he's too mean, he's going to lose that point. So he's got to be very deliberate, very methodical, and he's got to appeal to women and say, you may not like my style, I'm brash, I'm bombastic, but if you vote for him, Joe Biden, you, your kids, and everybody else are going to be in for years and years of hardship, which is true. And then he trots out the facts. So he's got to be methodical in the three debates. If he does well, I think he can win.
I think looking at where we are now in the country, Bill, I'm not sure what it's like in other parts of the country, but I have noticed here in Memphis a lot of for sale signs going up around locally owned businesses, a couple of the big national franchises. They just announced in Memphis that, you know, it's going to be as bad here in September as it was in New York City. I mean, if that's true, you really do wonder, what is the economy going to look like if parts of this country are still shut down come November?
Well, if COVID isn't challenged by a vaccine, a medicine, or a rapid deterioration of its horror in the country, Trump loses. Because there's too much fear. And when voters are fearful of anything, they vote the opposite party. And I wrote a column, and I hope everybody reads it, about the truth behind sending children back to school. Because if kids don't go back to school, and I think they will, when you read the evidence in my column, it's incontrovertible. It comes from the Harvard School of Public Health. It comes from Europe. But if the kids don't go back, Trump loses. Because then the psychological message is that COVID defeated the Trump administration. That's the psychology of it all. So there has to be improvement in the pandemic for him to be reelected. I think there will be, based upon what I'm hearing about vaccines and research and what's happened here in New York where I live. I think there will be, but it's going to be tight. And Donald Trump has got to tell the truth about the virus, and he's got to get out there and rally the people around saying, look, this is a short-term thing. Don't destroy your country over the COVID virus. And if you elect the Democrats, you're going to destroy your country. That would be my message.
Well said. Well said. Bill, we're going to have to leave it there. How's that TV show going for you?
You know, we're doing very well. Todd, thanks for asking on all fronts. We have a tremendous amount of people going to BillO'Reilly.com and signing up for our campaign, Stand Up for Your Country, right? We have stickers, we have material, and it's not a political statement. Just stand up for your country. We do not kneel, Todd, as you know. We don't kneel.
That's
right. So BillO'Reilly.com and the TV operation is big. I got a book coming out September 8th, Killing Crazy Horse, The American Indian Wars. So we're doing well everywhere.
Good stuff. Bill, as always, great to have you on the show, and we look forward to having you back to talk about the book.
Thank you, Todd. Anytime. Appreciate it.
All right. Bill O'Reilly, ladies and gentlemen, great American patriot, great journalist, and he's a straight shooter. I mean, Bill O'Reilly is gonna take you right down the middle, but you heard what he had to say. There's no way that he can support a Democrat in this cycle. It's insane. And he's absolutely right about that. All right, look, got to take a break here. We're going to open up the phone lines, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. When we come back, we got to talk about this mask nonsense. There's some crazy video circulating out there. A guy and his girlfriend out at a park eating a picnic lunch. Some crazy woman wearing the mask comes up and starts spraying pepper spray, hosing them down with pepper spray because they're not wearing a face mask. Well, it was because they were eating lunch. It's getting crazy out there. And I've gotten 5 or 6 messages from you guys saying, hey, Todd, we were out at the Walmart. We were down at Target. We weren't wearing the face mask, and people came up and started harassing us. And I'm wondering if this is happening in your communities as well. We're going to talk about that. ToddStearns.com. Check out the live show blog. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
So I want to ask you a question. Let's say it's 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. You and your wife are out for a night on the town, and you're went to a lovely restaurant in downtown wherever, and you're going back home. So you get in your car, you get the wife in the car, and you're driving down the road, and all of a sudden you are surrounded by a massive crowd of these protesters, the Black Lives Matter thugs and thuggettes. And you honk your horn because you don't want any trouble. You're just, as a motorist on the roadway, trying to go home. You did not receive a text message saying this road is closed or this road is being used by the protesters. You're just trying to go home. But when you honk the horn, instead of moving out of the way, the protesters are attracted to you. It's horrible. It's almost like the flies. They just swarm you, and so they're swarming your car, and they're banging on your car in the dark of night, no police around. And all of a sudden, you look, and one of the people in the crowd has an AK-47. And that guy with the AK-47 is pointing that weapon directly at you in the driver's seat through the window. Now, here's my question. You've got 1 second to act. What do you do? 1 second. Do you let the guy take off a shot? Maybe killing you or wounding you. What do you do? Do you hit the gas, end up running over a dozen or so protesters? What do you do? What do you do? I ask that question because there was an incident, a couple of incidents over the weekend, where motorists were caught up in these massive violent protests. There was a man in Austin, and he was caught up in one of these and got surrounded, as I just mentioned. And sure enough, there was a guy with an AK-47 pointed at his window. So the guy did what he thought was best to save his life. So he took out his own weapon, which he was allowed to have under the law. He's a law-abiding gun owner. And he took out his gun and he fired that weapon, striking the guy with the AK-47 and killing the man. And then suddenly, gunfire rang out from this so-called peaceful protest. They were shooting at the driver as he sped off. But as the driver sped off, and again, this story is making national news, and the headlines are pretty disgusting. Armed motorist guns down man whose girlfriend was in a wheelchair. I mean, it's just horrible stuff. But clearly this guy had been on videotape earlier explaining that he was looking for a confrontation. And he found one. It's a tragic story. Turns out that the motorist, after he got out of this rampaging mob, he immediately called police and said that he had shot a person. He cooperated with the police. He was taken into custody. He was not charged. As of yet, he has not been charged. He was let go. And I suspect when the police started looking at the facts of the case, they realized that no crime had been committed here. But when you're staring down the barrel of an AK-47, you've got a right to defend yourself, even if you are in your car. But here's my overarching problem with all of this, folks. Why are these city leaders allowing the protesters to take over roadways and highways and interstate highways? What right do they have to do that? If I were to go outside of our studio and stand in the middle of the road, you know what would happen? The police would come and they would haul me away. Or, and the chances are probably better that before the police arrived, somebody would have run me over. So I would have been off to the hospital with a broken leg. So I don't get it. These people don't have they don't have protest permits. Why is it that they have to block the roadway? There's video on my Twitter feed of some guy bragging about the fact that they're terrorizing an elderly couple surrounding their car, refusing to let them go anywhere. Here's my philosophy on this. We pay big tax money, hundreds of millions of dollars, to the Federal Highway Fund. Now, what's happening in these cities like Portland and Austin? They're allowing the highways to be turned into sidewalks. And you know what? That's fine. If they want to turn the roadways into sidewalks, that's fine. But you know what? When that happens, that roadway, it's not a roadway anymore. It's a sidewalk. So I say, yank all the federal highway money. If you want to play that game, let's do it. Somebody's got to stand up for the motorist. 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
Trump's supporter was shot and killed in a drive-by in Milwaukee. I don't know if you got that news, but the people in Milwaukee are waiting for those troops to come in because they got weapons, and it's going to be a lot of bloodshed when they come. So that's all I got to say.
What's that supposed to mean? So now you have people on your air threatening our lives? Is that what it is, Jesse?
Let's keep going to Chris, who's calling from Oceanside.
He just had a caller call in and said that that shooting Trump supporters is right. I mean, anybody who's a Democrat or independent should listen to what that gentleman just said and realize where the Democrats are in this country. They're threatening our lives. It is disgusting. It's despicable, and it's criminal. And that sounded like a threat against the president and his campaign. I hope the Secret Service investigates.
Good for you, Boris Epstein. He was a guest on C-SPAN, one of the call-in shows, and you had some clown call in and threaten bloodshed against Trump supporters. And the CNN host was like, all right, thanks for calling. I mean, come on. But this illustrates how dangerous the country has become, folks. There's a report in the Wall Street Journal that it's so bad in some parts of Minneapolis that local citizens in some of these areas that were hit hard by the rioters, that the local residents are forming militias. They're forming militias to protect their property and to protect their businesses. And when you see what's happening in places like Portland and Seattle, where they're literally trying to burn down federal buildings, thank God that President Trump dispatched federal agents. And you have someone like Jerry Nadler, who's out there saying, what violence? It's all a big myth. It's all peace and harmony. People are singing Kumbaya, and they're tiptoeing through the tulips out there. Well, let's get to the bottom of this on the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Great to have with us Mark Morgan. He's in charge of U.S. Customs Border Protection. Mark, great to have you with us today.
Todd, thanks for having me.
So when you hear someone like Congressman Jerry Nadler go out on national television and say that all these reports of violence, it's a myth, what do you say to that?
It's a fabrication, Todd. It's just a bald-faced lie. I mean, I have to be straight, and that's not a political statement. That's coming from somebody that's been in law enforcement for 30 years, and I know exactly what's happening. Let me give you a couple of quick stats. So far, 189 officers and agents have been injured, many of them seriously. Every single night, we have criminals, the anarchists, not the peaceful protesters, though, the criminals that hijack the peaceful protests every single night with the willful intent to destroy, damage federal property, and harm federal officers and agents. They are bringing weapons with them every single night, and they're doing exactly that. Caustic materials, pesticides, urine, bags filled with feces, lasers, M80 commercial-grade fireworks. The list of weapons they bring goes on and on and on, and a list of 189 officers and agents that have been injured. That's the truth. That's the fact.
And yet here you have these mayors and the blue state governors out there suggesting you guys are some sort of an occupying force. The president has every right to send agents out there to defend the federal buildings.
So I would say even it goes more than that. It's not a right. It's actually statutory responsibility. Title 42 USC 1315 tells the Secretary of DHS, not if he has time or if he would want to. It says you shall protect federal buildings, the almost 9,000 federal buildings that we have, you know, across this country. But Todd, especially this, a courthouse. It is the seat of American justice in every city in this country. If any building is worth protecting, isn't it the seat of American justice? And we're going to do that. We're not going to give that over to an angry anarchist mob with the total intent to destroy. As you said earlier, their intent is to burn that courthouse to the ground.
And keep in mind, in one instance, there were agents. My understanding is there were agents inside. So that it's not only burning down the courthouse. They wanted to kill those agents. I mean, this is very dangerous territory you guys are going into.
Todd, so that's a great point, and most people miss that nuance, and so I'm glad you've got that. Early on, look, we had actionable, credible information intelligence that these anarchists were going to attack the courthouse there. And so that's what precipitated the additional resources. And we went there the first night. Just as you said, we were actually inside. We were not outside. We were inside the building, unseen, unheard, and it wasn't until these criminals attacked the courthouse, broke through the front doors, breached the entrance of the building, tried to set it on fire, and assault our agents. It's only then that we went offensive and came outside to make arrests to protect the building and themselves. That is the truth.
We've been getting a lot of questions from our listeners who are all great patriots, and they want to know, and I promised I would pass along this question. They want to know, why is it that that your guys can't just go in there and just clean out the entire city, just root out all of these anarchists? Why is it that are you limited to just protecting the federal buildings, or can you do more?
So that's a great question, and that's correct. We have statutory limitations, and that's the irony to this, is like when they see us out there, you know, in the streets of Portland, we are not patrolling the streets of Portland. What we are doing whenever you see us off federal property is we are actually carrying out that statutory responsibility. We have probable cause that somebody has actually committed a felony against the building itself or a harmed federal agent or officer. That gives us the authority to go out there and investigate those specific crimes. That's where our statutory authority rests. And so it really takes kind of a whole of government approach. And that's why you see, you know, the FBI is involved in this. United States Marshals are involved in this. But at the end of the day, It takes a joint effort with the federal government and the local police department. It takes that relationship, and the Portland mayor has tied the hands of the police department. If he would let them do what they know to do and can do, we would see this end overnight.
Mark, I know you guys are in other cities. Are you finding other cities? Are they cooperating with you guys?
Yes, we Portland is an anomaly. We're not seeing it like this anywhere other than Portland. If you, even Seattle, if you look at Seattle, which is, you know, traditionally progressive, you saw what's happened over the past few nights. Is the Seattle Police Department went out there and they did what they needed to do. Now, keep in mind, the local leadership tried to take basic tactics away from them, tried to take away from the Seattle Police Department the ability to use less than lethal to do their job. It would have been untenable. It would have been impossible for them to do their job. Luckily, a judge intervened and said, no, they have the right to use those. And they did, in fact, use those the past couple nights, and it's been effective. But that's what we have with local leadership right now.
It's just appalling. And you don't hear these reports. You mentioned 189 agents who have been injured, some of them seriously. What sort of injuries are we talking about? What are they being subjected to out there?
You name it. They're bringing all kinds of weapons, but I'll give you a couple of highlights. One is lasers, these green lasers. And for a lot of people, to be honest with you, Todd, I really didn't know the effects of the green laser, but it's actually serious. It can actually cause permanent eye damage. And now there are two DHS officers who their physicians are saying that they may not regain full sight in their eyes because of this assault with these lasers. We've had agents that have been burned. Bags filled with caustic chemicals have been thrown over, and we've had an agent's neck and chest be burned. We've had broken bones. I mean, the list goes on and on. This isn't a game. This is real. And keep in mind, you mentioned it before, they're trying to burn the building to the ground. That's not hyperbole. It's a fact. And they're trying to burn the building to the ground with federal officers and agents inside. That's what's happening there every single night.
Again, Mark, I understand that the role that you guys have is limited. You know, my concern here, those motorists, law-abiding motorists out for a night out on the town, all of a sudden, you know, they're being swarmed. These people are placed in very difficult situations. There was a guy on Fox and Friends. He's a property owner in Seattle, and he's afraid his private property could be targeted by the rioters. I mean, this lawlessness is very, very dangerous. We're heading down a very dangerous path in this country.
We are, and you bring up another good point. I don't have the current data, but last week, you know, we were getting information that Portland, just in that major area right there where the lawlessness happened, they've lost in excess of $23-25 million already, and that number is going up and up. And you're right. Right now, they have this nice park across the federal building. Well, guess what? It's taken over by these anarchists every single night. So if you're somebody who wants to go and enjoy that, you can't do that. You're taking your life in your hands if you do that. I mean, the list goes on and on. This is unbelievable. Meanwhile, you have a mayor that's actually encouraging and emboldening the criminals. He actually tells federal agents, you go home, but doesn't tell the criminals to go home. How outrageous is that? Where are we at now when we have a mayor that's telling federal law enforcement to go home, but the criminals, you can stay? It's just outrageous.
Mark, what do our listeners need to be doing here? How can they help you guys? What can they be doing?
Well, first of all, I mean, look, right now, they can stand up. I'll give you an example. If you're out there as a peaceful legal protest, use a little bit of common sense. So if you know that anarchists and criminals are taking over and hijacking an otherwise peaceful protest in an area, go somewhere else. Go protest somewhere else. Don't enable these individuals. Don't provide cover for these individuals. They're hijacking the message of otherwise peaceful protesters. Their message doesn't get out. Like you and I right now, instead of talking about having meaningful dialogue of where we can be in the future with things and transparency and all those positive things, instead we're talking about the criminals that have hijacked the message, hijacked these protests. That's one of the first things. And then the other I would say is reach out to your local leaders. Let them know that this is not the way, that they need to step up and they need to start working with federal authorities to reduce the crime.
I'm with you on that. And, you know, again, elections have consequences.
They do.
Those consequences are being played out right now. Mark, God be with you, sir. And you got a lot of supporters on this radio program. And let's just hope this gets handled pretty quickly.
Absolutely. Amen to that.
All right. Mark Morgan, folks. Wow. These numbers are staggering. 189 federal agents injured, some of them seriously, on the streets of major American cities. Most of those, by the way, in Portland. What are you going to do about it? You heard what Mark said. We've got to get out to the city council meetings, the county commission meetings. This is all local right now. So you folks that are listening to us out in Portland, Oregon, you need to be descending upon City Hall. You need to be making sure your council leaders understand where you are on all of this lawlessness out there. I mean, this is just outrageous. Unbelievable. A couple of these guys may be blinded. The story out of Seattle. Seattle property owner Joseph Wagnall told Fox and Friends, enough is enough. Seattle police said at least 59 officers were injured during protests on Saturday when they were struck with explosives, rocks, bottles, and wood. I've actually shared some of these photos on our Twitter page. It's pretty disgusting stuff. But we're talking about IEDs, explosive devices that were literally hurled at local police officers. Police officers were burned, suffered burns, bruising, all sorts of other injuries. The homeowners or the property owner said that he's witnessed people rolling around the neighborhood with AK-47s, and people are looking for fights. They're smashing everything, spray painting everything. He says, I don't know how anybody would want to live in that neighborhood. It's very difficult. And Fox and Friends asked the guy, well, you know, what do you say? Because they're Jerry Nadler saying these are all peaceful protesters. And the guy says, it's not true. These people are criminals running around. Enough is enough. He says the Black Lives Matter people left a long time ago. Now it's just people using that to smash and grab. It's completely not realistic. And yet, time and time again, you have these Democrats that you elect. I mean, folks, it's not rocket science. You got to go and vote, and when you do, you got to stop voting for the Democrat. Otherwise, you get what you elect. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're with Todd Starnes.
In the political time machine, it was election night. Hillary Clinton's campaign headquarters over at the Javits Convention Center, and when a lot of the Mexican Manchu gals figured out that Hillary was going down in defeat, the primordial screams coming out of some of the gals, it was quite entertaining. Well, we have an update to tell you about, and we may have a new poster child for the perpetually offended snowflake generation. I want to play cut number one, please, Caleb.
You treat us like rats! You proper slayers! You beat us dead! We did nothing!
That's a grown man. It's not Anderson Cooper, but it's close. This is a grown man, and he was, we don't know what protest he was at. Seattle, Portland, who knows? But I think he really does speak for the average person out there rampaging around. Again, so now that you know, this is a grown man who is is it safe to say that he doesn't hit the gym a lot? Yeah, the guy probably doesn't hit the gym a lot. And he came unglued. I want to play the whole thing again.
You treat us like rats! You proper slay us! You beat us back! We did nothing!
I'm sorry. That's just... Wow. Kind of sounded like Avery the last time he wanted, you know, a pay raise.
No. I thought you said that you were not going to talk about that conversation on the air.
Oh, I'm sorry. My apologies. I completely forgot. Can we play it one more time, Caleb? I want to use this as my ringtone.
I just want to apologize on behalf of that man's mother. And just say we're all sorry for that.
You know, this illustrates a big problem in America right now, where sadly, many red-blooded American men have been turned into wusses, and it's a tragedy. I mean, this guy claims to be a dude. I mean, it's just kind of shocking that someone like that would behave that way in public. I mean, dude, get a hold of yourself, you know? You would expect one of the Mexican Manchu gals to come over and just slap him around a couple of times so that he would come out of this. Can we play it one more time? I just want to hear the whole thing one more time.
You treat us like rats! You proper slay us! You beat us back! We did nothing!
I'm sorry. Wow. I shouldn't laugh. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we probably. Wow. All right, folks. Stick around. Who knows what's going to happen? We'll be right back.